With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
At this point, I feel like we need some reaction from inside the locker room. So we're pleased to welcome former Packer, former Super Bowl champ, longtime NFL defensive back, and now NFL Network analyst, Will Blackman, joining us from the West Coast. And Will, it's this trend in football right now to find this best young offensive mind and make him a head coach, including LaFleur in Green Bay. What's your reaction to that as someone who played on the other side of the football?
Blame Sean McVay. It's his fault. It's his fault, the fact that he is, you know, finishing his second year and he's, what, 32 years old right now and had lots of success. But what people are forgetting is not only, he's really good, offensive-minded, but he has hired a really strong staff. That's what's really important. So, yeah, of course he brought his mind with him, but he brought in Wade Phillips, who's coached, what, 40 years? And then he has Joe Barry, who's a former D coordinator. He kept Coach Fossil, who's one of the, if not the best special teams coach in the NFL. So he has a really strong staff that's not only helping him, but letting him just call plays.
So if there's a situation like this, let's put you in a locker room, Will, because it wasn't that long ago that you were in one, and a brand new head coach comes in, and he's in his 30s. Now, I'm not saying that's bad. I'm just giving you the scenario. He's in his 30s. He's from the offensive side of the ball. He's never been a head coach before, so it's all brand new for him. What do you need to hear from him to know that he can handle this gig?
Just be himself. That's the main thing. Don't come in here and try to be, you know, try to be Joe Gibbs, try to be a Vince Lombardi. Don't come here with these speeches that you're going to promise this or do this, because, you know, we'll find out real quick that, you know, you're a fraud. But come in there and, you know, present yourself. This is your plan. Show us that you have a plan. Give us, you know, facts how you're going to try to get that plan. And then the magic thing is, I want to help you succeed. If we hear that from a coach, we want to help you succeed, then you already have us. You're good. Because what coaches don't realize, or what a lot of people don't realize, is that, yeah, it's the NFL. Guys are getting paid. This is the highest of the highest. But everyone wants to be taught. Everyone wants to be coached. Everyone wants the answers. I remember Charles Woodson, when he went over back to the Raiders, he had a defensive back coach, Marcus Robertson, and who was a nine-time All-Pro guy himself. And think about it. This is Charles Woodson, who already won everything. He's, you know, almost 40 years old. And he's letting Coach Robertson give him the answers. Like, he's letting him coach him. Because Coach Marcus said, they call him Emrod. They said, listen, Charles, if you listen to me, I will get you back in the Pro Bowl again at damn near 40 years old. And he listened, and sure enough, ended up in the Pro Bowl.
So from a defensive player's perspective, does it matter that it's supposed to be some offensive guy and that the general manager of the front office is focusing on the offense more than the D? Does that matter?
No, it doesn't matter. Like I said, let's go back to the Rams again. So, yeah, Sean was hired, and it's like, okay, we hired the head coach. Now, who is he going to bring in to help lead this defense? And then the Rams, he brought in Wade Phillips, who is automatically respected across the board.
Okay.
So it's like, how do you build your plan? You know, you can, you know, and Wade, not only did he hire someone like Wade, but he hired good coaches. A lot of these coaches end up hiring, like, their friends or their homeboys or guys they're loyal to. Seriously, they're not necessarily good coaches, but they can trust them because they're their friends. And then all of a sudden, you find out no one's really doing their job, and it backfires. It's important for them to hire really good coaches regardless of age. Are you a good coach? Yes or no?
Okay. Will Blackman is a veteran of the NFL, Super Bowl champ, now on NFL Network. And even as we're in the postseason, he's starting to get ready for what's to come in the draft. Gosh, that combine is just weeks away. It's after hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So your former team, one of your former teams, the Packers, they let Mike McCarthy go late season. They bring in a bunch of candidates to interview. I think 10 was the number that I heard. And they end up with Matt LaFleur, who has 1 year of calling plays, but has been in the NFL for 10 years. What do you think about that marriage?
I think them parting was when McCarthy is tough. He's an incredible coach, you know, a championship coach. I think time just ran its course, you know, and I'm assuming they trust the fact that, you know, where LaFleur has been, learning from different people, that it was enough. And once again, people have to know, like, these teams are, they're doing all their homework and they're sitting down, they're actually talking and interviewing these coaches. So people can go ahead and say, oh, this guy didn't do this, this guy, whatever, this guy played for the Omaha Beef, which he did. And, you know, like, what does he know? But these teams are doing their due diligence. I think, you know, my good buddy Dan Orlovsky knows Matt LaFleur really well, and he said he's going to coach Aaron Rodgers really, really hard. Who knows? We'll see. But it's always cool, you know, if time ran its course, let's go with a fresh face. Let's see what happens.
Okay. What does it mean to you that they're keeping a couple of the guys from the staff, like Mike Pettine, like Joe Philbin, guys who have been around a little longer and can kind of bridge that gap now from McCarthy and from what was old to what is new?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that the defense, they can continue to grow, continue to get better. This is going to be a big offseason for Gutekunst, the general manager, or to see what he does. Really, really important, and I think keeping Philbin, maybe it has something to do with Aaron Rodgers. You know, somebody Aaron is familiar with, mm-hmm. to keep him there. So it's interesting. I'm just curious. That's what's so funny is that everyone doesn't know really what to expect with any of these coaches.
Right.
It's like you don't know. I'm sure you're going to get the cliff next. So it's like you just don't know. So everyone's just sitting back and everyone's saying, oh, they're going with the trend, the new young coach. No, these guys just want, like, legit offensive play callers. That's what they want. So,
are you surprised that Coach McCarthy didn't get the job in New York and that the Jets went with Adam Gase instead?
I am not surprised he did not get the job in New York. It's interesting to say, you know, he said he's going to take the year off completely. But I put something up earlier saying that, hey, if I'm one of these young coaches, maybe I bring McCarthy on my staff,
right,
as a senior advisor, like somebody there who can help me along the way in terms of being a head coach in the NFL and managing stuff like that. So I thought I'm sure something will happen. There's no way Mike can sit there at home after coaching for so long.
Right.
He does the analyst. I'm sure he'll do the analyst thing. It's interesting in that regard. I'm not surprised he didn't get the Jets job.
It is surprising to me a little bit that I feel like the NFL is going the complete opposite direction, where it used to be that wisdom and experience and time logged and, you know, previous head coaching jobs mattered. And now I talk to fans and I hear from them around the country, as I'm sure you do too, and it almost feels like fan bases and maybe even teams don't want guys who've been anywhere before, as you talk about a fresh face. But it's not like Mike McCarthy's coaching experience is a bad thing. I mean, it's odd. It just feels like nobody wants a quote-unquote retread now.
Yeah, I mean, because the reports coming out of Green Bay, what people are saying about Green Bay and McCarthy is the fact that, you know, him calling plays wasn't innovative enough. You know, so if that's the case, let's say it's true, then how is that going to help your young quarterbacks that you're trying to groom? You know, you're not going to bring them there. And that was majority of the teams who needed a head coach. They have a young quarterback there. So if your offense is innovative enough, then it's like, well, good luck with that, you know?
Will Blackman from the NFL Network is with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. And then you have the Bruce Arians situation. He takes 1 year off. He does the CBS analyst thing. And then he gets this job in Tampa. And as you mentioned, he's kind of bringing back guys that he's familiar with, that he knows, almost building that same band that he had in Arizona where they had success for 5 years. Does the fact that he's 66 years old matter? Or is it more about whether or not he can communicate with younger guys?
Listen, Pete Carroll's 66, isn't he?
I know. He's also older.
that's what people don't understand. Pete Carroll is the oldest head coach, which is unreal. But I think they just needed somebody who understands offense, but probably someone who could, you know, knock some sense into Jameis. Someone who can challenge him. Because the frustrating thing with Jameis Winston is that he literally has every single physical tool to be a really good quarterback for a long time. But I think, you know, well, we're just waiting for his maturity, his maturation process to meet up with his on talent. So I think maybe Bruce Arians is the type of guy that they thought would help that team. And obviously he brought in Todd Bowles because, you know, the defense was not up to par last year. You know, they end up firing everybody. But last season they fired Mike Smith during the season. So to bring in Bowles, to bring in Arians, just to bring some kind of – maybe I'm assuming they just lost control of a lot of people. And just overall, I mean, you had reports of if DeSean Jackson wants to be out of there. Brent Grimes did not want to cover the number one receiver because he didn't think he was getting paid number one corner money.
Oh, heavens.
No, that's crazy to me.
I know, it is.
Yeah, it's like if someone called me right now, I was like, well, we'll give you $7 million to go shadow Odell. I was like, that's fine because I did it for way less anyway.
Right.
Yeah, that's crazy to me. I don't know, man. So, once again, they're just trying to get some order, some structure, some people with, you know, in there, well, high caliber to get that thing right. So, no, I'm just happy that he decided to come back and coach. And like you said, hopefully he's doing well and his health is good, and that
yes.
You know, he'll have fun. I guess Tampa's a great retirement spot anyway, too.
if that's the next
right?
step.
Yeah, exactly. He probably has a place down there. You know, it's funny because my college coach Tom O'Brien, he ended up taking the job at NC State after Boston College. Lo and behold, he actually has a house there.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
We're spending a few minutes with longtime NFL defensive back and Super Bowl champ Will Blackman of the NFL Network. So let's talk about Wild Card Weekend for a bit. We did have a few surprising results. Three of the four road teams ended up victorious. What will you take away from these four games?
What impressed me was the Chargers, how they went into Baltimore, went all the way across, you know, the entire country, went into Baltimore, and defensively took everything away. They stopped the rushing attack. You know, everyone knows they use seven defensive backs, but the fact they went seven defensive backs is not only could they run to keep up with all the speed, but they're physical enough to stop the run. So that says a lot about that. But once again, I want to circle back when I mentioned a championship-type staff. You have Anthony Lynn, who's an incredible man, great coach. But he hires Gus Bradley as his defensive coordinator, former head coach. And his offensive coordinator, he has Ken Whisenhunt, once again, former head coach. So
right. With
those three minds, you see what they're doing. And they're just riding with a lot of momentum. Phillip Rivers is having fun. So that's really cool. Philly going into Chicago, that game was interesting. And once again, everyone was like, oh, here we go again, you know, with Nick Foles. So it's scary. It's fun to watch, but it's like it's scary, you know? It's like, man, like what if? You know, what if he goes and does it again? That's going to be unreal.
Right.
I was thoroughly impressed with the Cowboys. I think right now they're just hitting on all cylinders. The main thing is they're using Zeke how they're supposed to. I said something early in the year. Zeke's the type of player, if you want to win, he has to at least touch the ball 25 to 30 times. Because that is the bread and butter of your team. And then, of course, when you have that, then everything else opens up in the passing game with Amari Cooper. So that's really, really cool what the Cowboys are doing. So and then probably the most impressive team is the Colts.
Yeah.
You know, it's unreal, starting with Chris Ballard, the GM, all the way down to Frank Reich, and then all the way down to the team, you know, with Andrew Luck and everybody else. They're you know, it's funny because you look at the roster even now, but early in the year, you know, you honestly couldn't really name anybody. You know, you can name some of the rookies they drafted, but Andrew Luck, you know, wasn't sure of him, T.Y. Hilton. But, you know, you have guys making plays when they play the Texans. You know, he had Inman who came from the CFL, and you had, you know, Jean Pascal, who was with me on the Redskins, the receiver, and he was a practice squad guy. These guys are starters making plays over the field. So they're honestly, they're maximizing their potential. So I definitely have Frank Reich, you know, up there for Coach of the Year as a candidate, and same with Chris Ballard as Executive of the Year.
Will Blackman won a Super Bowl with the Giants and is now with NFL Network and here with us after hours, CBS Sports Radio. All right, so this is not really a fair question, but I'm asking anyway. Which one of these upcoming divisional games most intrigues you?
You know, it's crazy because these are all good. That's the one thing. You know what I mean? That's the one thing that when the playoffs came about, I was like, this playoff is wide open. There's not like one clear-cut winner. You're like, okay. This team is definitely going to be there. You can see a path for every team. You know, I'm going to go over all four games. I'm sorry.
A paid talker, man. You do it.
No, you're good. So the Colts and Chiefs game, the biggest thing with that is, you know, can they slow down Kansas City's defense? And I believe they will because everybody keeps talking about it and they keep hearing it. So, they're like, oh, you know, Chiefs are going to score 30 points, so the Colts will have to score. The Colts will be able to get points. It's just a matter of can the Colts slow down the offense? And I think they can just by – if you can get to Pat Mahomes, teams have shown, like, that's a problem. And also, if you can get to Andrew Luck, which no one has been able to, you know, they stopped Jadeveon Clowney and J.J. Watt. They had zero sacks. Like, that's incredible. But, you know, I see the Colts winning that one. And then Dallas going into L.A., that's an intriguing game because everyone's like, oh, L.A. is going to, you know, it's the playoffs. They're such a great team. But right now, Dallas is pretty impressive. It's interesting because early in the year, Jerry Jones made a comment saying, you know, I see lots of similarities between us and the Rams. So I don't see why we shouldn't be doing as well as they are. And everybody laughed in Jerry's face. Like, you got to be kidding me right now. Like, your team's not even close. Right now, this team is revved up. This team is doing extremely well. And I think they will go into L.A. and they will handle their business. And we don't know the health of Todd Gurley. You know, he took a lot of time off to get himself healthy. And the biggest situation that the Rams dealt with was when they lost Cooper Kupp. Right. He was basically another quarterback, and he was Jared Goff's outlet. You know, if things didn't go right. So they got Dallas in there coming out with the win. Philly versus Brady. Philly Riv. Philip Rivers, can he go back in there? Since 2007, you play in the 8-20 ACL, right, in the championship game?
Yep.
I really want him to get a ring and then go take care of his nine kids.
I do, like, too. I do, too. He's like, he's a sentimental favorite right now.
Dude, I feel like if they don't win this year, he's going to have a 10th child. And then he he's going to just try to make another run at it. Right now, they are primed. It is destined. Chargers, do everything in your power to get this man a ring. And I definitely had them going in New England and getting it done. People are like, well, you know, the Patriots at home, it's the Patriots. Yeah, but the Chargers are a better team all around. And I can see them handling the Patriots in New England. So right now I got three road teams winning. Now the Eagles versus New Orleans, it's hard because I say if Wentz was the quarterback, then I'd just be like, you know what? This has nothing to do with Wentz's ability, but the fact, I'm just like, New Orleans, yeah, they're going to whoop him again. They beat him almost by 40 during the season. I think it was by 40. But there's just something about the Nick Foles mystique. There's something about his energy, something about his aura, something about him where you're like, we can't really count this team out because we've seen it before. That's kind of our society. Like, if we've seen it before, then it's possible.
We believe it, exactly.
We believe it. You know, so it's we've seen it happen, so it's not like, oh, it's going to be a wash, they're going to destroy them. However, there are that secondary will be tested, and then you're going to have a fresh New Orleans offense.
Right.
You know, everyone's like, well, they had the week off. Well, it's not like they don't practice. They're not just sitting there just watching these games like everyone else. That's what people don't understand. But I would love to see a Phillip Rivers, Drew Brees Super Bowl.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
And you're going to hear all those storylines about how Philip replaced Drew Brees.
Oh, that's right. You're right. That would be 2 weeks of that. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah. You're going to hear all these stories. You're going to hear all his shoulder surgeries and all this and that. And they meet again, and then Drew leaves and wins a ring. Oh, you're going to hear all kinds of crazy stuff. That's going to be a unreal storyline.
All right, I'd sign up for that. I'd be okay with that. Okay, you can follow Will on Twitter, at Will Blackman. Played in the NFL, now with NFL Network. And then he and Rick Bucher have the Bucher and Blackman. I like it. It's alliteration. Bucher and Blackman podcast, Mondays and Tuesdays. And the link is there on Twitter. Good to talk to you. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Luck out of the gun, drops back to throw, has time, lofts into the back of the end zone. It's Dontrell Inman! Touchdown! Touchdown for the Colts! 18 yards away, Dontrell Inman finds the end zone for the third consecutive week, and the Colts opening up a can right now on the Texans. It's 20-0.
Common denominator, I think, just discipline, sound fundamentals, sound technique, you know, converting on third downs early, that's always important. It's nice to get up with the lead, especially on the road. You don't want to be playing from behind. But we've also shown this year that we can come from behind. So I think this team's been in a number of different styles and types of games, and I think we've learned a lot from all of them.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Andrew Luck and the Indianapolis Colts were up big in Houston in their wild card win, and he mentions the third down success. They were 6-for-6 on third downs in the first half in Houston. 3 touchdowns on their first 4 drives, and that was essentially the lead they needed to be able to advance to the divisional round. Now the Colts will play in Kansas City. Matt Taylor with the call on the Colts Radio Network. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. This time tomorrow, we'll be diving into all 4 of these divisional football games. It's one of the best weekends of the entire year in terms of the competition. Cannot wait. And if you think about some of the quarterbacks who will be on the football field Saturday and Sunday, wowzers. How about both the Chargers and the Patriots being just 2 wins away from getting to the Super Bowl? Will it be the perennial contenders in the Pats led by the legendary Tom Brady? Or can Philip Rivers and the Chargers punch their ticket, return to the AFC Championship, and maybe get to his first Super Bowl? The action kicks off with the NFL Today, powered by Ram Trucks, at 12 Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on CBS. That's the home of Super Bowl 53. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Willing to take your phone calls if you want to talk about the head coaching hires, especially the ones that maybe surprise you a bit. I'm not surprised that Freddie Kitchens got the job in Cleveland. I am surprised at the fallout, the fact that John Dorsey and Jimmy Haslam then dump Greg Williams. But they were worried that Williams wouldn't operate as well and that the dynamic would become a problem since Kitchens leapfrogged over Williams. The Broncos are going with Bears defensive coordinator Vic Fangio, so they're pretty much bucking the trend. And they're going defense and experience, which is the opposite of Vance Joseph was a defensive guy, but he had no experience. And so that was the priority for John Elway in finding his next head coach. And then Adam Gase, late on Wednesday evening, we find out that he will become the next head coach of the New York Jets. Mike McCarthy will take 2019 off, though he does want to coach again. So 855-212-4227. You're finding me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and also on our Facebook page. Chris managed to put all 6 of the newest head coaching hires in one big montage. Oh, and I put a personal post up on our Facebook page. I'm not even sure I want you to see it. I feel like putting it up there on the Facebook page makes it really makes it real. Actually, I don't even know if you can see it. It's one of those ones where I'm not sure Facebook's hiding it. But yeah, this is coming up in my life in 2 weeks, and I still can't believe I'm doing this. So you can check that out on our Facebook page or on Twitter. I put it out there as well. The link, A-Law Radio. Scott is in Stone Ridge, Virginia. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Amy, right? Man, you're awesome. You do a great job.
Thank you.
Yeah. Hey, I just wanted to give your knowledge, insight, and feeling about the Dallas Cowboys and the Rams game.
Okay. Oh, just like start talking about it? Okay. Yeah, I think the Rams defense, the Cowboys defense, the way they're playing right now is really impressive. If they can put some pressure on the quarterback, I think that makes a world of difference. And really every position they've been able to come up with, not just pressure and sacks, but they've also been able to come up with good play in the secondary. I like the way that defense has come along. And they were able to get the pressure on Russell Wilson in the game that they just played in Wild Card Weekend. As we just talked about with Will Blackman, he's going to be Ezekiel Elliott's going to be the key when it's about the ball control. That's what the Cowboys want to do. They want to keep the ball away from Jared Goff and the Rams offense. And so they're going to rely heavily on Ezekiel Elliott. That's why they gave him week 17 off, is so that he would have fresh legs. And he certainly came through last weekend at home. I don't know how much I'm feeling the home field advantage for the Rams. I think that Los Angeles loves winners, so they definitely are going to sell out the place, but I'll bet there will be some Cowboys fans as well. I like the way that Dallas limited the run of the Seahawks, and that will be extremely important against Todd Gurley. We're not exactly sure that he's completely healthy, but all of those things are important. And they don't want to give up the big plays. I mean, Jared Goff and some of those the weapons that he's got, his receivers, they can hurt you with the big plays downfield, and they're not afraid to do that. They're not afraid to get aggressive. And we're about to see the original Sean McVay, the OG of this whole big coaching tree. We're about to see him back in operation again. So, I think it's going to be a really interesting matchup. But Dallas does have the ability to stifle and suffocate, and that will be critical against the Rams.
Yeah, hey, I just moved here like from Wisconsin 2 years ago, mm-hmm. and I'm solid Dallas and always have been. I'm talking Tom Landry, Drew Pearson, Preston Pearson, Tony Hill, Willie, then you go to Aikman, Emmett, Irvin, Stefanowski. I mean, I'm telling you, I want to send the Dallas Cowboy vibes. Hey, we got to keep it up and stay solid and stay true, and you do a good job as well and stay solid and true.
All right. Thank you, sir. Good to hear from you.
Hey.
Oh, whoopsie. Sorry. I thought we'd said our goodbyes. I'm not really good on the double goodbyes. And I didn't have the heart to say to Scott that I don't think the good vibes have any impact at all in the game. It's like jinxes. There's no such thing as jinxes. But if you want to send your good microwaves, you go ahead and you do that. Maybe the Cowboys will take them. How funny is it that Drew Pearson not only was a guest on Writer Than You CBS Sports Radio, but our caller just mentioned him. I don't know the last time I've heard Drew Pearson's name get mentioned, and now twice in one day. So why don't we hear from Drew himself? He was a guest on CBS Sports Radio with Writer Than You on Wednesday afternoon. He played for the Cowboys as a wide receiver back in the 70s and the 80s, spent his entire career with the Dallas Cowboys. And Bill asked Drew about their best game plan going into Los Angeles and then beyond, potentially to get to the Super Bowl.
Basically keep doing what they've been doing. The defense, of course, has been playing very well and stepping up and doing a great job and bringing a lot of intensity, and that of getting turnovers and getting good field position for the offense. And that's making a big difference in our offense. Then offensively, just keep running the football. Rely on Zeke to carry the load. We used to rely on a guy named Tony Dorsett. Tony used to say during playoff time, "You call it, I'll haul it." And that's what with Zeke, you call his number 21 and he'll haul it. And that'll make a difference, keeping teams off the field. The Rams are going to be tough. There's no question about that. Well-coached football team, disciplined football team. Wade Phillips, the defensive coordinator, knows the Cowboys well, coached here, head coach here, defensive coordinator here. So it'll be a tough test, no doubt. But one thing I think we got in our our favor a little bit, Bill, tipping our way, might be the fans, because since we train out there, there's a lot of Cowboy fans out there in California, in the L.A. area. So that should help as far as going to a foreign stadium in the Way Stadium and having some success there.
Again, Drew Pearson from the Dallas Cowboys in the 70s and the 80s, a guest on Writer Than You on Wednesday and talking about the Cowboys' outlook against the Rams and beyond. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. Our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. If you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, you can get it all at geico.com. Again, 855-212-4CBS. Coleman is in Georgia. Welcome to After Hours.
Hi, how you doing, Amy?
I'm good, thank you.
Yeah, my question is I just had one question with a follow-up. I'm a Falcons fan, and I don't think that it would be right that you send New Orleans there. So my question is, do you think that Philly can, you know, do the job over there? Because it wouldn't make us happy over here in Atlanta.
I mean, Philly can do the job. I don't know if Philly will do the job. A lot is going to depend on, in my opinion, a lot will depend on that young secondary. We did see the Bears burn that secondary a few times going downfield. We had, 303 passing yards from Mitch Trubisky. And so you're talking about a Trubisky who is in his first playoff game versus now a Drew Brees in his own stadium who can light you up. And so if that young secondary takes risks, unnecessary risks, and anticipates and gets burned, that game will get out of hand very quickly. So the secondary's got to play extremely well. It's going to be similar to what we've talked about, with other teams, the ball control. Can Philly run the ball? It can't just be on Nick Foles. It's got to be on their offensive line, giving him protection. It's got to be on their ability to establish the run. They've got to have longer possessions and not continually give the ball back to Drew Brees in the offense, because the Philly defense will be worn out before too long.
See, Nick Foles I don't think he's going to fold under this pressure.
No, it's not about him folding. Oh. I never said anything about Nick Foles folding. I think we should know by now that's not what he does. Even throwing two interceptions last week to begin the game, it doesn't faze him. I said it can't be all on Nick Foles. They can't just expect Foles to do something magical, because Drew Brees is the guy who runs the town and has the corner on magic inside the Superdome. And it's not about the way they lost the last time. I mean, that was a completely different team. It's about not giving Drew Brees extra opportunities, so no turnovers. It's about trying to establish the run game for Philly so that your defense gets some time on the bench and is fresher later in the game. And it's about not getting burned downfield by a Drew Brees who's had a couple of weeks now, to rest and his receivers get healthy. And I mean, they're like an avalanche picking up speed and sliding downhill when they get going.
Thank you for your time, Amy.
Thank you, sir. Good to talk to you. Coleman in Georgia. All right, so 855-212-4227. We will do a little bit of QB news next hour. Also, I've got to tell you about this thing I can't believe I'm doing coming up in 2 weeks. We're going to take the show on the road by necessity, and I'm trying to come up with some way that I can get out of it. I can't be a wuss. Anyway, so we'll talk about that after the top of the hour. Plus, Jalen Hurts has a new plan for the next football season, and Kyler Murray is having to decide between football and baseball. Has he made his choice? So still a lot of news coming from all corners of the football globe. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. On Facebook, too. Your reaction to this rash of coaching hires now. In the past 2 days, we've seen 6 of the 8 jobs filled. There's still 2 available, though. Anybody for the Bengals and Dolphins? It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.